as the name would imply, by Lieutenant Colonel Jones, who was the commanding officer of a tank destroyer battalion. They're really ill-equipped to fight an attack, and that's basically why we were ordered to send part of the unit down to help him out, as he was apparently receiving substantial attack from in the area that was to our south. In fact, he was charged with the responsibility of denying the enemy the use of the road net to our south. Therefore, in this case, he was protecting the flank of our 7th Armored Division units from any attack from the south. The task force, which he commanded, was his own tank destroyer battalion, less two companies, our tank battalion, less the one company that was moved to the north, and the 440th Armored Field Artillery Battalion. When I arrived on the scene, he apparently had things well in hand, and the attack he was experiencing was an infantry attack, which was being made across a large open field with little or no protection, and he was playing hell with the attack. They were decimating the enemy as they came across this open field. And we subsequently found that it was a newly formed unit, newly issued brand new uniforms, and apparently had little or no combat experience, so they would not have continued to move across this open area and accept the casualties which were being inflicted on them. When our tanks got there, we simply put them in line where they had observation of this large open area, and it was like a turkey shoot. As soon as they would exhaust the ammunition in the tanks, they would simply take the tank back to the ammunition depot, reload with ammunition, and get back into the line. It was probably the best fun they had in some time, because there was very little to fear from small arms fire, and they were just playing all kinds of hell with the enemy units. After it appeared that the situation in this area was resolved, our unit was ordered back to the 7th Armored Division area, in the zone of around Kramholz, as I remember the name of the area. The units in that area had been, our units in that area had been forced back, and it was a hairy situation in that the Germans appeared to have been making some substantial gains and had forced various elements of the 7th Armored Division and also some stragglers back into the area of Kramholz. Colonel Wempel, the battalion commander of the 17th Tank Battalion, saw how critical the situation was. The communication was absolutely essential because of the confusion that existed with several units in the same town or in the same vicinity of Kramholz. And he advised me to see if I could go back with the half-track, which had a very reliable radio, and find the combat command headquarters and establish a position very close to General Clark, so that I could keep him informed of the situation in Kramholz, and in turn he could, if they were to have no contact with the units in Kramholz, that I would have at least contact with the 17th Tank Battalion, less the one company that was fighting in the vicinity of Kramholz. As I left with the crew of the half-track, Darkness had fallen. It was sort of a scary ride. One, we were not particularly sure of the road net, not having maps of the area. We had only a slight knowledge of where the Combat Command B headquarters was located, and we had no protection whatsoever other than the machine gun that was mounted on the half track. Fortunately, we were able to get back and find the headquarters with little or no difficulty, other than not being sure that we were on the right road. When I got back to the Combat Command B headquarters, I brought the half track up to an abandoned house, and again we took the microphone and the remote speaker, brought it into the house, and I went over and reported to General Clark and told him that the situation in Kronbach was critical, and that from what I could hear on the radio, it was even getting worse, and that, in my opinion, and in the opinion of Colonel Wempel, the ability to hold Kronholz against the attack was probably impossible to do. And asked him if we could pull a unit out, and he was sitting in a chair facing a situation map in a somewhat darkened room. It was a very somber situation, and he listened very attentively to what I had said, and said, "Nope, we can't pull them out yet." He said that the line is too ragged. We have to establish better cohesiveness between the units, and he said, or otherwise, when we do give the order to fall back, he said it'll be complete chaos. Well, as it developed, the Germans were able to attack the town of Kronholz, and in fact, the fighting took place inside the town. Now, what made this so scary was the fact that not only were the Germans inside the town, but there were elements from the 87th Recon Battalion, the 31st Tank Battalion, the 17th Tank Battalion, plus all these stragglers who had found probably some moral support, if nothing else, when they were able to make contact with some additional American forces, which they found in Kronholz. The evening brought about numerous attacks, and with some trepidation about the American forces being able to fire at will because of the possibility of hitting other American units located in the same town. The battalion commanders of the units in town were able finally to get together and offered then at least some sort of some sort of means of coordinating the locations so that it minimized the chances of friendly units firing upon friendly units. In any case, I was able to hear the communications on the radio, and about every half hour or so I would go over and I would tell General Clark the situation, and he would listen again very attentively and say, "Well, you know, you keep me posted and let me know what's going on, and we'll pull them out as soon as we can." Sometime in the early hours of the morning, I went over and he said, "Okay," he said, "we're in a position now where we have the lines pretty well defined," and he said, "I think we're ready to pull the units out," and he said, "I want Wempel, my commanding officer, to cover the withdrawal of the units and be the last one out of Kronholz and pick up any stragglers that are on foot, load them up in the back of the tanks, and move them out in the vicinity of the Somme River." Well, as you're aware, a withdrawal movement is always the most difficult maneuver that the military unit is called upon to take part in that you're breaking contact with the enemy. You're moving toward a rearward position, and if the enemy senses that you're in a state of withdrawal, then in turn they mount the attack because of the disorganization and the fact that you're not in a defensive position. Well, as luck would have it, I assume that the Germans were just as confused as we were, and were happy to get a little bit of a respite where they weren't being fired upon from every direction possible. We finally really pulled out of the area with a minimal amount of trouble and with very little resistance. What little resistance was, it was scattered and came from isolated pockets of Germans that were firing in desperation because they didn't know what else to do when they saw the American forces pulling out, and of course they weren't aware of the fact that the unit was withdrawing. They just thought they were moving. Anyway, the combat command and our unit successfully withdrew, we were then directed to help the 82nd Airborne Division, who were in a position where the enemy was building up strong forces in front of them, somewhere around Somme Chateau. We fought with the 82nd Airborne by carrying the paratroopers into action, but the actions were minimal, and my recollection is that we carried as many as 14 infantry men on each tank and attacked certain villages with the paratroopers then dismounting when the attack took place. That's about the extent of the action as I remember it. It's interesting to note, however, that in the detail that follows the recommendation for the unit citation, we suffered 43 people killed in action. Now, this is not our battalion only. This is the entire division. We had 382 wounded in action and 740 missing in action. After the 7th Armored Division was demobilized, however, the facts were able to be more accurately ascertained, and we learned that we had 228 people killed in action in the 7th Armored Division, 642 wounded in action, and 167 missing in action, of whom about 120 were believed to have been taken prisoner of war. The division and the supporting troops, or rather the supporting troops attached to the division, were about 8,000 strong. And the estimate of the enemy strength that opposed us in the Bulge consisted of 3 Volksgrenadier divisions, 3 SS Panzer divisions, 2 Panzer divisions, and 1 Panzer Grenadier Brigade, which was the Gross Deutschland. That represented about 67,000 troops, and they had supporting troops of about 20,000, which meant that there was about 87,000 enemy fighting about 21,000 of the 7th Armored Division and supporting troops. It became obvious after the war that what the enemy attempt was to secure Brussels and Antwerp, which would isolate the 1st Army and the 9th Army, American armies, and the British 2nd and the Canadian 1st Army. It would split them and isolate them, and they were going to utilize St. Vith as a major supply installation for supporting the counteroffensive until they could take Liège and Namur, which were intermediate objectives. It's our estimate that the tanks destroyed all types inflicted by the 7th Armored and Supporting Units represented 133. There were 30 tanks destroyed of all types, 4 self-propelled guns, 6 anti-tank guns, 2 artillery pieces, 36 half-tracks, 11 staff cars, and 48 other vehicles of various types. The estimate of wounded and killed is by actual observers that 2,460 were killed, 1,520 were wounded, and 326 were taken prisoner. This was about 4,306 in total. Interesting to note that in the recommendation for the Distinguished Unit Citation, which I think I said before we subsequently did receive, they purposefully omitted the recommendation for the 14th Cavalry Group. And it's interesting to note that it said in the recommendation that this unit was omitted purposefully because of its undisciplined pell-mell withdrawal without orders on 17th December 1944, which contributed in a great measure to blocking the road from Recht to Pato to Vilsan. You'll be able to follow those on a map, I'm sure. And during which it abandoned considerable quantities of material near Pato. That unit was subsequently attached, or what was left of it, was subsequently attached to the 7th Armored Division, which proceeded then to relieve several of its field officers, and its subsequent reorganization into provisional task forces. Many individuals and groups of individuals performed with great distinction and gallantry. However, the 14th Cavalry Group, as such, was not deserving of being cited in the opinion of the submitting authorities. That's about the detail that I can give you. I hope it's sufficient to be included in your considerations. If there's any detail that I might be able to further help you with, drop me a note or even give me a call, and I'll be glad to see what little research I have available to me that might clarify some points for you. In any case, I hope this was what you wanted, and if it is, use it well, and I hope that your book is a great success. Over and out.